It's been a long road getting from there to here. It's been a long time.
Welcome to Science Friction. We got Sean Crespo.
Yeah.
He writes for Full Frontal with Samantha B.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, he just looked at me like, say something.
No,
yes,
I do. I realize you should
verify.
All do it yourself.
Verify.
So wait, here we got Sean Crespo. Sean Crespo, tell us about yourself.
Hey, guys, I'm an actor and a writer, and I'm writing for the field department for Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, and I was on Blue Bloods last year and a bunch of other stuff.
Come on. You were on Blue Bloods last year?
Yeah, bro, I'm an actor and a writer.
Did you get out with, what's his name, mustache guy?
Donnie?
Yes.
That's who my scene was with.
What? Tell us about your scene.
It was pretty rad. Donnie's from Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts, and he was really wonderful.
Was the scene about? Give me a picture.
We're in a room. I'm being not interrogated, but they're trying to find out if I saw something.
Are you a person of interest?
A person of interest, sort of a potential witness.
Yeah.
Did you
I'm
say
interested.
That?
Yeah, you're potential witness, and you are a gentrifier. Larry the gentrifier.
Yeah. Is that the name of your
character?
Well,
that's a terrible last name.
Oh, by the way.
Way too on the nose.
It's cool middle name and last name.
The cool woman's voice we just heard. Carol Hartzell.
Hi.
She also writes for Full Frontal.
I'm the, what
managing
is my title
digital.
Again? Managing digital Jesus. Producer.
Wow.
I was going to say web designer, and that's
nowhere. I'm the head of Dreamweaver.
Carol and Sean are married, which is why they've got such great patter.
Yeah,
anyway,
great.
Take us to the scene.
Okay, so Larry Hale is sitting there, and he might have seen something. He really did. But he doesn't want to tell Donnie, because if he does, this local gang might rough him up or beat him up. And
it's
so
Brooklyn
he
gangs.
Refuses to tell Donnie the cop. That's not, is that his character name, Donnie the cop?
I think so.
Yeah, he refuses to tell Donnie the cop what he saw. And Donnie's all mad.
Okay.
Yeah. And Donnie's from Massachusetts. I'm from Massachusetts. And he was like, hey, everybody, this guy's from Massachusetts, so give him the benefit of the doubt. It was really nice.
That's
really
awesome.
Yeah. He was
were
really
you wearing the Bruin shirt you're wearing right now on set?
I was wearing, no, I was
good
actually,
representation,
it was worse.
Though, by the way.
Thank you. It's worse. I was wearing I did a radio show with a woman whose nephew runs the swimming program at my old high school. So she got all these t-shirts for me from Framingham High School.
Nice.
And so I was wearing one of those. And he was like, oh, you're from Framingham? I know a lot of people in jail there. I was like, thank you. We have very good jails.
You know what? His brother blinded an old Vietnamese man. And then 2 years ago, you didn't know this? I'm sorry, what? I thought I was...
Whose
I
brother was, has an Asterios?
Okay, that's true.
It's Framingham.
My brother's not Mark Wahlberg. So you guys know Mark Wahlberg blinded an old Vietnamese man when he was a young boy.
No.
Mark did not.
Wahlberg was like a street tough. So Mark Wahlberg blinded an old Vietnamese man.
How?
With his fists, and he punched him and shit until his eyeballs rolled around in his head and they couldn't see straight no more.
Does he see now?
No, he's a blind. He's been
you
blinded.
Can be temporarily blinded.
True.
Is this was this
man?
Was this pre or post Funky Bunch?
No, very pre.
Okay.
He's 12.
Oh, okay.
So Mark Wahlberg's a local Massachusetts minor. Street tough. He's a minor. He's beating up old Vietnamese men and permanently blinding them. And then a couple of years ago, he's like. Hey, I'm Mark Wahlberg. I think my conviction should be overturned.
It was that? That was the
that,
incident that
That
you
was
overturned?
The conviction
wow.
he tried to get overturned. Because he's like, I could do so much good, you know. I'm Mark Wahlberg. I can just do so much
can
good.
He not
this
vote?
Is another. You've got like 70 Mark Wahlberg voices.
I'm trying to find the right one.
Can Mark Wahlberg not vote? Was it a felony?
Nope. Yes. You can't blind an old Vietnamese man and run for Congress.
I'm Mark Wahlberg. I did something wrong.
Ballard, let's hear
That's
your Mark Wahlberg.
Wahlberg. I'm Mark Wahlberg. Berliner. There we go. It's pretty on the nose.
10 points.
Thank
that's
you.
Closest,
yes, I'm on the board.
That's the closest to Massachusetts. And before we move on to Ballard,
point.
Carol,
yes.
Have you ever acted on TV or done a voiceover thing or acted in plays? I want to hear about your stagecraft.
Well, I was on The Late Show a bunch, mostly because
The Late
of Ballard.
Show with Stephen Colbert?
Yeah.
You were on The
my
Late
hands.
Show.
My hands were on the show.
Carol's hands
like
were in several sketches
times.
that I shot and directed. And also you were in several cold opens
yes,
with Stephen.
I played Stephen's accountant, I believe, in one cold open.
Professional
and
hand actress? Can we call that a handress?
Handress.
Thank
I
you.
Think that's very nice.
I just wanted to get that out.
Does that mean the gig is a hand job? I think that's
yes.
the industry term.
Yep. That's we don't want to bore you
well,
with the lingo, everybody.
Calling.
It's an industry,
my mom
industry term.
Just as you said hand job.
Oh, God. An angel just.
I think that's the only time I've been on TV proper, I believe.
Okay.
I'm not really an actress. I'm more of a behind-the-scenes person.
I'm remembering something
a backdress?
Now.
Backdress.
I'm remembering something terrible.
Oh, no.
I was on a late... I got asked to act in a late-night show once. It was this old show on Deep Cable. And they were like, you're gonna play Siamese twins with this other guy. And they're like, you're both gonna have thick Texas accents. And so every time I do my Texas accent, I'd be like, hey y'all, I'm from Texas. They would be like, okay, but where are you gonna do your accent now?
Oh no.
And like four people made that joke, and I remember the fourth time thinking like, this isn't fun.
What show was this?
It was a show called The Daily Habit. We shot it out in L.A. It was me and a bunch of other nerds who are all on At Midnight now. And anyway...
Was that the same show where you had a walk-on as a character, the hipster with jeans so tight they're painted on? And
yes.
You came in underwear and then just blue paint on your legs?
Yes, that is true. It was... This was
Internet listeners, please look that up.
This was the mid-2000s, so hipster jokes were actually so new that we were only doing them on the deepest of cable. This was like 2005... And then, so I had to play a character named Portland, the hipster with his jeans so tight they're painted on. And I remember, like, the really pretty makeup lady was like, you know, it doesn't have to be awkward that I'm going to smear your naked legs in blue paint. And she tried to get a little sexy with it to disarm me.
Was your thought, you're like, it doesn't have to be awkward, but I'm going to choose for it to be awkward.
That's what happened. I said, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to disarm me with humor. But what's happened is you've now made it much worse. And so I said, I'm going to take the paint and go put the paint on myself. I'll be right back.
That's a terrifying sentence. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to disarm me with humor. If a human being says that to you, you should
fucking run. That's a robot or an alien.
That's terrifying.
I thought that to myself. Here's what I said.
those laughs.
And then I was just like, I'll be right back. I'll take care of this. And then I smeared the paint on myself. I could have got paid to have a hot lady smear paint all over my legs.
I'll be right back. Must smear paint on my legs.
Did you join IATSE because of that?
No.
You should.
I should have joined IATSE.
I won't call the authorities if you guys will.
I will. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
It was a union
IATSE
set.
IATSE cops. It's like the stagehand union.
Oh.
I don't even think that would be part of it. But.
It was a union set, though. If it was going to apply anywhere, it would be there. Mm. We weren't out in an alley shooting comedy bits.
Where were you shooting?
Fox Pico.
Oh, I know that. I know Pico very well. Drove on that a lot.
So I worked for this network called Fuel.
Oh, Fuel. That's what it was.
Exactly. And so for the longest time, it was like skateboarding, surfing, bungee jumping network. It was so much fun.
It's like X Games.
But then one day someone was like, you know, nobody wants to watch that. Like, if you want to watch it, you can just watch it on YouTube. And if you're a skateboarder, you're not watching TV.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what people want to watch? People turning each other's face into hamburger meat. And so they changed it into a UFC channel.
Oh. Wow.
And I remember, like, one day I walked outside and our giant Fuel logo in the lobby had been replaced with a much tougher Fuel logo between two fists. And I said to myself, like, this is how this would happen in the TV show of this happening. It would just be like a big, dumb graphic. It would just be like right on the nose. Like, I'm looking at myself being fired.
You guys should have had a show called Between Two Fists. That would have been awesome.
Between Two Fists! We're going to talk to... What's your name, meat? I would love that. Are you kidding me?
Oh, just nut testosterone-fueled like interviews would be great.
Yeah. So... How's your next project coming along?
It's going well.
It's going to be a really good thing for families. I think everybody's going to really enjoy it.
I'm a glassblower. Why am I on this show?
What are you on?
Everybody, every host tries to put their guests at ease.
Yeah.
But why? We've never seen a host try to intimidate a good performance out of their guests.
So you make a lot of money. Right? Must be good to have all that money. Why don't you tell the people at home exactly how much money you make?
I think we should loop it in with the UFC approach we're talking right now. Do you guys know about, let me say, the precursor, do you guys know about chess boxing?
What?
All right, so yes.
Tell us
yes,
anyway.
Real thing with
Wait,
a...
Chess boxing?
Chess. Chess boxing, there's a, I believe there's an international org that is regulating this. There are very much rules for it. Here's what it is. It's a real sport with alternating rounds of speed chess and boxing. And you can win either by technical knockout or checkmate. Or I think there also might be like a point system as well. But it really is like, I don't know the exact ratings, but it's like 5 minutes of speed chess, 3 minutes of boxing, and it alternates.
I got a foul on this already. It's not chess boxing, it's chess and boxing. They're just trying to make it sound cooler than it is.
And it worked. You take the and out, it sounds so much cooler. So here's what I think. I want to see something similar to chess boxing. I want a boxing talk show, but it literally is alternating acts between like UFC fighting and then they have to like talk about it. And then they have to go back in and fight each other. Like, I want there to be... And, oh, how about this? Whoever wins that round sticks around as host for following episodes.
Ooh, I like it. A Hardwick-style after chess boxing show. Okay. I'm into that. Talking chess boxing.
There's going to be a lot of offshoots of that. If that's a real thing, there's going to be like a fucking...
Chess boxing is real, guys.
Because look, if you can ski and then shoot a gun, and that's in the Olympics.
Yeah. Good point.
Jiu-jitsu
is ludicrous. Why pair those two together?
Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that one called?
Biathlon.
So why don't they just call it ski gunning?
Oh, good point.
Better.
Carol, we're sending some emails after this. I think the Olympic Committee is going to be
happy.
Yeah,
you work in advertising. Get on that.
I'll do it.
That's your new account.
That's
ski
me.
Ski gunning. I have the ski gunning account. Where are we at with the ski gunning spots?
All right. Let's get to our first question. Breaking news. A father and a son are in a spaceship accident. The father dies at the scene, and the son is rushed to the cyber hospital. At the cyber hospital, which takes place in the future, the surgeon looks at the boy and says, I can't operate on this boy. He's my son. How can this be? Answer!
Ding, ding, ding. The doctor is a woman. But I'm going to go right on, because of the show, I'm going to say a cyber woman. Also, I'm going to say that the son is an alien hybrid between humans and someone else, and the mom is an alien cyborg. I'm going to go with a Vulcan cyborg blend.
And a hard light hologram. That's the wrong answer, but you get 10 points for enthusiasm.
Ding, ding, ding. It's one of the endings to AI. It has like 6, and that's like the 7th one that got cut, actually.
I like it. Because remember that scene where like that, like the hair just fell in that bear's hands?
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, that's a long shot of something that's probably going to be consequential. Later fell like a medical degree. But no, that's not right, but you get 10 points.
I'm going to say that the sun is actually a robot that is mimicking human behavior, has been sent out into space and met the person who was his dad, you know, his human dad. That dad's dead. When he goes to the hospital, though, the doctor sees the boy. He's like, this is the guy who invented and built the boy robot. So he's saying it's my son. So it's like son, you know, sort of ironic quotes, but not, because he really does love
this thing.
It's
like Michael Rooker in GOTG2 saying, he may have been your father, but he's not your daddy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm Mary fucking Poppins. Yeah, one of those maybe.
Okay, now that's another good, that's another big 10 points. But guys, it was a rhetorical question.
We fell for it.
How can this be? Because she's a lady doctor. Who?
Well, he said that at the
lady
beginning.
Doctor who? We've got...
Lady Doctor Who. That's pretty fantastic.
Are we doing that?
That was a transition.
That was all set up. I was going to answer it myself.
It's a bait and switch.
There was a whole... Oh, it's okay.
Why we answered questions that we weren't supposed to answer at all. It wasn't actually the question.
Well, I feel abused. I didn't want to cut him off.
You should. Because now looking backwards, I was like, no, that was the easy answer. Like, I'm so excited. I know the answer to this riddle that we all learned in high school.
I just assumed you were going to say Lady Doctor Who.
No.
Because we were all
You should edit all of this out and just do that run again, and we'll be silent and get us to the real question.
Because
we've been here for 49 minutes.
I know. We've answered one question.
We have not answered a question officially.
No, you're right. Yeah, we haven't. We got a Lady Doctor Who. Cisgender dude nerds can finally openly admit being attracted to Doctor Who. Because Broadchurch's star Jodie Whittaker is the lady version of a man Doctor Who named Lady Doctor Who. For 5 points, give me a take on why having a Lady Doctor Who is bad.
Well, as we all know, first of all, women can't be doctors. I mean, it's crazy that a woman is going to be Doctor Who. It's insane. Women can't be doctors. We all know this, right?
I like this.
Thanks for high-fiving me, Sean.
I think it's a bad idea because the whole premise of Doctor Who is the word who. There's no real identity, and women are very proud of their identities, and they have actual names. And so I don't want to see a woman relegated to this ambivalent role that doesn't have any actual texture and color and heart to it. So you're, fuck Lady Doctor Who.
And how come it's, oh, the 13th? It's, we gotta go through 12 dudes before
yeah,
we get, you know, it's insulting to make her 13th. They should have just made the next Doctor Who.
Just make a whole new dudes. Show about a lady magical doctor and give her a fucking name.
I like this. By reducing her to her component parts, we've removed her identity. 10 big points thank for you. Carol.
Doctor wow. Her?
Oh, bad.
That's pretty terrible. That's pretty terrible. I'll see myself out.
Okay. Do you got any reason why I'm making a Lady Doctor Who is bad?
No, I don't.
Okay. Don't you want points?
Let's see.
He rejects the premise of the question.
That's the Carol's with me.
Doing,
that's
I'm
it.
I'm doubling back. Like, nah, I get it, Ballard.
Give me a sec. All the coffee just wore
come
off.
With a good reason.
Okay.
Why is having a Lady Doctor Who bad? Sell out your liberal principles for 10 big points, Ballard. That's what I'm asking you both to do. You did a great job, Carol. You
know,
sold them out right
I
away.
I gave you an I ironic
really
answer, and I feel
to,
like I cheated.
Well, you can double back and go for a real answer.
I feel maybe I should go for
because,
a real
look,
one.
Anybody can be ironic, like, man, girls stink, boys rule. But what I'm looking for is give me a really good reason why we shouldn't have a Lady Doctor Who. Stretch.
All right, well, how about this?
you look like you're going to sing.
You're allowed to.
Should I sing my answer? Women have a lot to offer. Okay. How about this? Fuck. How do you do this without using broad generalizations that sort of undermine your already stupid argument?
You can.
It's really... I know, but I don't want to. I already did that. I did that earlier with that ironic answer. That, and by the way, I'd like to retract that. Even ironically, I shouldn't have said that. All right. Why
is it bad to have a Lady Doctor Who? Why? Here's a possible reason. Shouldn't we have had a Black Doctor Who first? Why? How come we're putting gender above race? Now we're getting into a sticky area.
I guess, but that's
tangential.
Did you know that women
tangential. Can be non-white as well?
Well, then why did they make a Black Lady Doctor Who and tick off both boxes?
Good question.
Well, that's a whole other category. It's a whole other question.
I've got my argument now for why.
Why couldn't Song have been the African-American character? What's her name, Song, been Doctor Who? She's an African-American lady. She's already part of the Doctor Whoverse. Could have made her a Black Lady Doctor Who, Ballard.
I'm going to say, why is this TV show the only acceptable canon for Doctor Whos? I know thousands upon thousands of women who've been writing Doctor Who fan fiction, and Doctor Who, female Doctor Whos that might not be cisgender, have been around in the minds of fans on the internet and in their hearts for decades, I would say. Why do we have to say that only the one on the BBC is the real Doctor Who? I say it's already happened. This is not a first premise. It's already been in existence for a long time, and it's your fault for not accepting it and uncovering it in your own earlier.
I'm going to say there doesn't need...
Wait, Ballard needs to be awarded points for that. 11 points.
Oh.
Good job.
Oh, I just want
to. I'm going to give one of my points to Carol. Actually, I'm going to share one of my points with Carol.
I felt like you guys
you know
have been
what?
Teaming
sharing,
up against me.
You get five untransferable points, making men the rulers of this episode so far.
I'm giving my points to the poor, okay?
Oh, good move for Carol.
Boo. 20 points.
Yeah!
Good job, Carol.
I think the answer has to be that why is it bad? I think we shouldn't have a person of any gender be Doctor Who.
That's yes!
Genderless.
That's why. I think
genderless.
It should be a genderless, seamless person with no genitals.
Yes.
And just like, just nothing. Like it's
Sean,
just
perhaps,
one.
Perhaps all the genitals.
Yeah, or all the genitals.
Yes. No. Genitals yes. are what have been holding Doctor Who back. Get rid of them.
Yeah, well, she's a doctor, or he's a doctor. You
but
can get rid of those.
Isn't
also,
there
why just a doctor? Let's expand the possible like occupations that
a
the character could have.
Who. A yep. firefighter.
DDS.
Who. Doctor Who.
Who DDS?
Surgeon Who. It's the UK. Yeah. Isn't surgeon normally actually what a yep. medical doctor be called in the UK? Yeah,
we
just already confusing to me.
Barrister Who.
Yeah, CPA Who.
Solicitor Who.
Yep.
Hold on one second.
What about, let's, can't she just be a mom though and stay at home? There's nothing wrong with that, guys.
No, in no. fact.
Who mom?
That's more empowering.
Yep.
Somehow.
Doctor Who, but it's a stay-at-home mom, but it's a male character.
I like that. Okay.
It's a stay-at-home dad.
Okay. I gotta say Sean's answer so far is the best, because Sean has managed to take a premise that could easily lean into misogyny and gone to the left of both of you.
Well,
by picking an agendered, non-cis, non-conformist, but also non-conformist Doctor Who with no genitals, which in itself is its own genitals.
Yeah.
You are the most liberal. Good job.
Well, I also did give the fake misogynist point of view, so maybe these, can I just have these even out? And
no,
go?
You get points for both of them.
Oh,
you
okay.
You got points the first time, because look, you went out there early. Yeah. It's tough to go first.
It is
I'm
tough.
Just happy that a straight cis white man had the best answer.
I think sure
that's
did.
The way it should be.
Oh, Carol. I'm but actually, Hispanic.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right. God, I always forget.
Yeah. My dad is from El Salvador, so.
And actually, Sean, you can actually come over here and double check this in the script because none of you got the correct answer. The correct answer is having a lady doctor who is great. How dare you? How dare you people do that? What's wrong with you? It's 2017. We can't have a lady Doctor Who? It's been long enough.
It was stupid of us to not say that.
You're yeah. all monsters.
But I admit it. Yeah. Do I get points for admitting?
Sure.
All right.
Just got 50 points now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Indeed. All right. Question two. Latest news out of D23, which is also known as Comic-Con for even bigger nerds, is that Kingdom Hearts 3 will feature the world of Toy Story. For 5 points, why hasn't Kingdom Hearts been tossed in a dumpster, then burnt alive yet? Ballard, why is Kingdom Hearts still a thing? It wasn't supposed to work. It worked, and it worked so well.
I only know about it like as a thing, but not something that I've directly interacted with. Like, and the idea, okay. like, oh, I I've see why this is totally a thing.
I know it's a thing, though.
Here's what's funny. To me, it feels a little bit like My Little Pony, where you're like, oh, I guess this is a thing because it's got a big following, but I don't really understand it. Then, of course, I watch some My Little Pony. And I got pretty into it. And I'm not calling myself a brony, but I understand where they're coming from. And similarly, I would think if I played Kingdom Hearts, I would probably be pretty into it. I can't guarantee that. I don't necessarily know. But seeing that it's still got a big fan base around it, I'm going to give it the benefit of the doubt.
You know what? 10 points for being honest. If Kingdom Hearts was around and I picked it up, I'd probably have a good time with it too. It's a button masher. You play this little guy, you run around. If you just keep hitting X, you will win the game.
It's kind of like it's like the, is it kind of like the Lego games?
Yes.
In the idea that, yeah, this,
yes.
you can jump and you can go left and right and you can punch things and that's it. You can't really die.
Nope.
That's super fun. You just lose some of your coins and then you keep going.
Oh, Kingdom Hearts. I thought you said King of Hearts.
No.
I was looking up the wrong thing, so I found, okay.
What?
I thought you said, I couldn't hear you. I've King never of heard hearts. Of this thing. I thought you were saying King of Hearts.
Why would D3 be talking about King of Hearts?
You confused me. I didn't know what was going on. I don't know what Kingdom Hearts is, though, either. So, like,
would this be easier on you if you were talking about Jack of All Trades? Unless, of course,
is that a
you
game?
Don't know Jack.
That was a good gamble. Oh, I want to say that was a good gamble. That was a very good gamble. And Stereos took a chance to.
He should have known.
And you made a good. He didn't know Jack of All Trades. I know who. This is. Am I correct that this is the spinoff show from Xena featuring Bruce Campbell's character? Okay.
Yes,
I knew
exactly
of that. Also,
right.
haven't seen it. Know of it. I want to give.
I've never seen it either.
If I could award some points, I would award it 5 to 10 points to Asterios just for taking that gamble to guess that Sean would be into that show, because I would have also thought that that would be a yes.
I'm looking at Sean.
What is Jack of All Trades?
Sean is asking Siri questions right now, right into the microphone, which is going to be great for our audience. So here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Sean, and I'm kind of like the mentalisting Sean.
Uh-huh.
I'm seeing mid-30s.
Sure.
Nerd.
Early.
He's married. Cisgender.
Yeah.
White. From Massachusetts.
Yep.
I would have bet the farm that he would have known what Jack of All Trades was, and I would have lost big.
Still don't know what it is.
All right. Let's say, how about this? What is your favorite county in the 1800s to have adventures in? Could it be Briscoe County?
Oh, ooh. Briscoe County. I love Briscoe County Jr.
Tell me more about the show for five. I'll give you 5 points every time you can name a specific reference to the adventures of Briscoe County Jr. Carol, you can get 10 points.
It was him and another guy.
Okay, that's true. Name.
Yeah.
What was the, tell me anything about that other guy.
I don't know, he was black.
Say he's black.
He
Thank
black.
You, that's 5 points. I knew you didn't want to say it, but I
no,
knew I could
no
get you to.
I have no problem saying it. Why do you think?
You hesitated.
Lord Boulder.
Absolutely.
Carol's jumping in here.
Lord
the two gentlemen aren't noticing.
Carol nice. 10 points to Carol. Now, if we were to describe the aesthetic of this show, what kind of aesthetic would we describe it as?
Western.
And
science Sci-fi. Fiction.
Steampunk.
Steampunk.
Oh, steampunk.
Well, Allard gets 15 points.
I think didn't revolve around, like, weren't they? There was some sort of, like, metal orb.
Yes, the orb.
Yeah,
the
that was, like, the big
but
payoff at the end.
It was the
big
guy with the wire glasses who was his lawyer or something.
Oh, I don't know.
Right. He was also the boss on Roseanne.
Yes.
20 points, Carol. Great job.
I knew she didn't want to say glasses. You didn't.
I could tell.
Yeah.
I could tell.
You didn't
want to
say glasses.
Can I answer your original question about why Kingdom Hearts still exists?
Sure.
Because according to Wikipedia, it is owned by Disney Interactive Studios, and right there is why it still exists. Disney owns it. Disney owns your heart, your brains, your everything. So, you know, it's not going to die. It can't.
Wait. Let me test your answer here. Okay, first off, You get 10 points right away for Bad for the Disney Corporation. Like, that's always good for 10 points in my book. But are there Disney properties that fans have wanted back that they just don't listen to us?
Yes. Yes. And I'm going to say Song of the South.
Yes. Ah! Yes.
I know there are fans of Song of the South that are probably very active on the underscore Donald Reddit subreddit.
They're sending telegrams.
Yes, they really wish that they could get a hand on a Blu-ray of Song of the South.
What's not to like about Br'er Rabbit and his exciting tale?
It's a cartoon. Kids love cartoons.
Somebody's pointing out that Splash Mountain is technically themed around the story of Br'er Rabbit.
That's true.
And which I didn't realize. One of my coworkers recently went with some family and rode Splash Mountain and was pointing that out and was like, yeah, it's real weird. The idea that somebody at Disney, when first designing it, was like, yeah, this is a property that's still fine, and then it has not aged well.
Oh,
and you can't really erase all the Br'er Rabbit themed stuff yet. And yet kids have no point of reference for it. They don't know these characters. They will never be able to find out.
This whole episode's canceled. Well, guys, sorry. None of those are the correct answer. The reason Kingdom Hearts is still around is because it does the one thing no other property can do. Make it okay for preteens to jerk it to hot anime boys like Sora. Now think about this, Ballard. Think about this, Ballard.
Why did I get identified?
Sora is fuckable as fuck. His hair is like 14 pointy dicks. He uses a thing called a keyblade that's shaped like a dick that has a heart in the hilt, and it's designed to unlock your virginity. But maybe you're young. Maybe you're not ready to confront feelings of direct sexual attraction. Don't worry. Donald and Goofy are there to keep things from going too far. Disney's like the condom that stops anime boys from running roughshod on your innocence until you're ready. That's why Kingdom Hearts is still around.
That's a good answer.
5 points.
5 points
for Stereos.
I'm also not surprised at all, because you look back at all this story with what you got, Disney animators kind of sneaking dicks into stuff.
Yep.
It's been happening for years. And also, I would say that a huge chunk of the Disney Channel's live action programming is a little suspect as well.
Yep.
You think?
Shake it up.
I'm not surprised at this theory.
I got a bunch of my SAG vouchers doing a Disney show.
Which was?
The T-shirt or something. There's some kid with
The T-shirt?
The T-shirt. Was that a show?
Oh, the teacher or the T-shirt?
No, T-shirt. It's some kid with a magical shirt.
Hold on.
Sriracha! We need your help!
Yeah, it was just
you share a mic with...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You get a voucher and you needed three of them?
We need your help!
Sriracha.
What?
You were in the next room.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming over. Sean was on a Disney Channel show. He can't remember the name
of it. I was an extra. I was saying that's how I got my two of my SAG vouchers.
He's going to name specifics from it. You're going to tell us what the name of the show was.
It was a hallway filled with it was like a high school or a middle school. There was lockers that was part of the set. There was a classroom.
Safe by the bell.
You're fired.
It's not a Disney
You're
Channel
fired
show.
For being my wife.
Based on the attributes you've given, you've named 95% of all Disney
shows. I have to start somewhere.
Okay, what year were you on the show?
God, this would have been like 90... No. Maybe 2002, 3 or something. And it was... Or maybe even before that. I don't know. I'm old, so time is hard for me. I think it revolved around a kid who had a magical sports jersey or T-shirt. Does that sound like something that...
Was it a movie or was it
No, it was a TV show.
Okay.
That's a very movie thing.
It was.
Yeah, I thought that was the plot of Johnny Tsunami, but...
Wait, I'll look it up.
No, that was not a TV show, though. That was a movie.
I can't forget.
Give me more. Who starred in it?
I have no idea. I was 20. it was there for a day. It was an extra. They don't talk to you. You don't mingle. You're just in the back at craft services
stealing
bagels. Is it
called The Jersey?
Yes!
Is that a show?
That's what it was.
The Jersey was a television series that aired on Disney Channel, blah, 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 1999 to 2004.
That's long
ago.
Wow.
The Jersey was on for a long fucking time.
Yeah.
Wait.
I got two of my SAG vouchers.
Read the premise of The Jersey.
One moment, please.
Was this a prequel to The Jersey Shore? When they were in when they were in middle school?
The Jersey. The Jersey. No, it was a little... Here, you got it?
Yeah. The Jersey is about Nick Leiter, Morgan Hudson, Coleman Galloway, and Elliot Rifkin, four teens who discover the magic of the Jersey.
See?
A mystical football jersey that transports them into the bodies of professional athletes.
And I was an extra on that. I was like some super old student walking in the back. Like, why is that third, like, 25-year-old man in our high school?
It compares it to Quantum Leap, so...
It does compare it to Quantum Leap.
Oh, they just got me!
Yeah,
they just, totally got me. They sucked me in.
But the main character's named Sam.
Oh!
Oh, this is—they didn't even—they didn't even try to.
No.
You know, actually, I'm gonna segue this. I was just looking. I was reading the plot summary of Cars. I don't have a good reason to justify why I was just reading the plot summary of Cars. But I remember.
Oh, it's about Cars. Oh.
Well, I've seen it. We've all seen Cars, and I don't know if anybody made the direct or the very visible connection that it's the exact same plot as the movie Doc Hollywood with with Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
No.
And then I started reading the plot summary of Doc Hollywood, and it's like beat for beat. it's very, like, they didn't translate, they didn't switch much at all.
A big time insert profession falls down or whatever.
Breaks down.
Doc Hollywood, in the, it's even similar because in both Cars and in Doc Hollywood, a big shot comes through a small town and causes an accident or there's property destruction,
yes,
and then they're sentenced to basically work off community service. It's exactly the same.
That's
community
Northern
service.
Exposure.
There's an older mentor. There's a love interest. Like it is just right. Just
wow.
Right next to each other. A direct
line. I really
line.
Do wish the plot line was just like a bunch of cars talk. That would be it. That's what the synopsis should
be. What more do you need?
Be.
The cars, they talk.
That's the pitch. Well, I heard that Talladega Nights was a six-line pitch, which was Will Ferrell as a NASCAR driver, and they got greenlit.
Yeah.
That's on IMDb's trivia that they just went in with that, and they said yes.
Alec Baldwin as a boss baby. Let's do
yes.
it. Let's do it.
Greenlight
it. Tom Cruise punches a bunch of guys. No, Jack Reacher.
Four. Again. He does it again.
Again. Part 5, 7. Oh, by the way, just throwing this out there, guys. I was also one of the Klansmen in Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou?
What?
I thought that was how you got your SAG card.
I think that's how I got my last voucher.
That's awesome.
Okay.
Was it just a day part? Were you in? Were you there for several days as a Klansman?
I was there for 3 days. We were marching up, and I think it was on a Disney ranch.
Wow.
Owned by Disney, so I just wanted to circle that back.
How do you feel about this? Like, it was
weird.
Yeah.
I was there with a bunch of friends, and they put those sheets on you, and you're like, this is fucked up. And I didn't know who the Coen brothers were then either, so I was like, this is just some stupid movie. And then, you know, time went by, and I was like, this is a great movie. This is a fun movie. I was a part of history, just the wrong part of history. But yeah, hey guys, Disney.
Was there anybody that was like, this feels right when they put on those robes? Like, did they fit someone too well?
Yeah, they're the same people that are looking for Song of the South on DVD.
Yeah.
We have to break into the Disney archives, much like they broke into that vault in Cars 2 when Mater became a spy. We've got to break in there and get those.
You can cut this out, but just because we keep talking about Disney, my favorite Disney movie growing up was Fox and the Hound. Have they bothered with that? Have they reissued that?
Because
that's
know.
A great story.
I don't know.
It's a great story of two individuals from different cultures who aren't supposed to get along. Getting along and seeing past their differences into their adulthood, not just as children.
Yeah, but the
Very
thing is,
story.
But you got Robin Hood's got a way hotter fox.
Oh, Robin Hood's great.
Yeah,
but have they
agreed.
Can we talk about
are they
that?
Remaking that?
Can we talk about that?
Well, the way the Disney Vault works is that they cycle through movies, and that they'll release one, and then there'll be a certain number of movies available for a certain amount of time, and then they take them out of circulation and release a new one. That way, there's still supply and demand. There's the people like snatch it up when it's available.
All right. Besides the fox and the lady fox, besides the lady fox Maid Marian and the boy fox Robin Hood, out of all the anthropomorphic Disney cartoons, who does it for you? 5 points.
So we can't pick
just foxes,
Robin?
or all the way any anthropomorphic.
You could pick Kit Cloudkicker from Tailspin. They just can't be human. They have to be humanoid. Who does it for you? The gummy bears bouncing here and there and all over you. Who does it for you? Who rustles your jimmies? I want to know. Mrs. Beasley, maybe you want, like, a female figure who, like, take care of you, give you cookies, and then give you everything?
The last unicorn was a fucking beautiful animal.
That's
was it,
good
was
10
it Disney?
Points right
was
there.
It Disney?
Wasn't, does this have to be Disney?
Nah,
that was,
that's
like,
good.
Bluth, I think?
It was Bluth, yes. 10
last
points.
Last unicorn, beautiful.
What
Mia Farrow. She was the voice of the last unicorn.
Oh my god, you're right.
Yeah,
that was a sexy damn horse.
Sexy horse.
Yeah.
How do you imagine your first date would go with the last unicorn?
You know, I think that there would be a lot of strolling, romantic strolling, probably. Mm-hmm. Horses dig that.
Would you go out to dinner somewhere?
No, I think we would both be on a diet at the time, and, you know, just people pay attention to food too much, so we just, like, want to go for a walk and enjoy nature, maybe a sip of water, you know, like just a nice, clean sip of water.
Just from a
From the stream.
Puddle?
From the stream.
From a stream.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm going to ask, though.
Mm-hmm. And then we would go see Fast and Furious, because she fucking loves it.
Huge diesel head.
Yeah.
Don't you want to at least be offered dinner? Because here's the thing. I agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
We're on a diet. Put too much emphasis on food. But if the last unicorn isn't like, do you want to get dinner? Aren't you like, what are you, a cheapskate?
No, I think we would have agreed upon it beforehand because women discuss things.
Okay.
Good answer.
I like this a lot.
Yeah.
John.
This is tricky, guys.
Darkwing Duck. Shoots his gas gun, you know where.
Darkwing Duck. Maybe one of the gargoyles?
Demona?
Demona, yeah, maybe Demona.
That's a great answer.
Yeah. Remember gargoyles?
Yes.
Was
Wait,
it Keith
aim
David?
That microphone better at your mouth. You're driving Ballard crazy.
Was it Keith? What happened? Here. Oh, sorry.
This and this.
Oh, there we go. I'm a professional voice actor.
There we go. He's looking at it the whole time and he's saying to himself, like, I'm not going to say
Somebody
anything,
Somebody does
this
for
wrong.
Me in the booth.
I know.
Okay.
There we go. Now really get up on that mic.
Yeah, you hear that?
That's much
How's that? Better. Okay, all right.
All right, Demona.
Demona. Yeah, you're just Keith David was the main. Was he the
yes.
main gargoyle?
He was the main
that
gargoyle.
Was him. Okay. Yeah, I don't know any of the other voice actors, but
well, just name anyone from Star Trek: The Next Generation. You pretty much name someone who works on the gargoyles.
Oh, for real?
Xanatos is played by Jonathan Frakes.
What?
Puck is played by.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I know. I do.
And Demona is obviously voiced by Counselor Troy.
I did not remember that or know that. You just shoveled that at me like you're just going to let that sit and that's okay.
That's why
just...
you like Demona.
Oh, man.
Because you know that's a hot lady voice.
Yeah.
The hot lady behind it.
Yeah.
Good job.
Oh.
That's a big 10 points. Thank Ballard.
I'm going to go with the Southern Oracle from The Neverending Story.
Yeah. What?
It's the big topless sphinxes.
Yeah.
They're cool.
That's,
yeah, I mean, it's very cool.
Answer.
It's embedded very early in one's childhood, and but also like they're incredibly like they've got a lot of wisdom.
Yeah,
they're incredibly sophisticated. Mm-hmm. They're there to aid in your spiritual growth.
Order laser.
And they're topless all the time.
Yeah,
which is great, and I think it's fun because they can tell you like who's going to win sports games. They can tell you like, if it's going to rain that night.
Maybe. It's never really clarified, like,
they're
what's
oracles.
The... What, but it's never clarified what's the range of their oracleness.
Oh my goodness, you're right.
It could simply be, like, your internal growth. I like that idea. That they see, like, like someone who sees an acorn, but they can see the oak tree inside of you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like that.
You're reminding me, though, that, like...
And they can shoot lasers and kill knights.
I was gonna ask.
They can also clearly shoot lasers out of their eyes.
Does that oracle also have laser powers?
Yes, they do.
That reminds me, though, and this isn't creepy because I would have been the correct age for this. I found Atreyu extremely hot as a child. Like, he had that long hair, and he rode the horse bareback.
I'm still haunted by that scene where he's trying to pull Artex out of the
And who isn't?
Out of the swamp.
And I'll say this. I'll say, am I right? Jonathan Brandis? Is that right?
The kid
who's in the sequel.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's also in Sidekicks.
He's also in Ladybugs.
I thought he was really cool. Very, very sad story in his life, but he's very cool. Also very handsome, even as a man, as a grown-up. I feel comfortable enough in my sexuality to say that's another very attractive fellow.
What's a sad story about his life?
He committed suicide.
I didn't know that.
Oh.
What?
I'm sorry to break that here on the...
Wait, the kid who's in Ladybugs?
Yeah, kid who's in Ladybugs who was in Sequest DSV.
What happened? Why?
I don't know.
Aww.
We all sometimes have
it's
demons.
We should stop.
I feel bad that I brought that up. You should cut that part out.
No.
I sucked a lot of joy out of this talk.
It's a real moment of humanity.
Ballard, please. Yeah. I'm a professional host, and I have the exact joke that will get us out of
here. Oh, fantastic.
So, I was going to ask for Carol. I wanted to know what you thought just a little bit more about Atreyu first, and then I'm going to uncork this great joke, and you'll hear it.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean,
was it the shirtlessness thing?
I think he had
a six pack.
It was the entire package. No, he was too young for a six pack, really. But
nope.
Like, how old was he? Maybe 14, 15?
14, 15 tops.
Yeah, so I would have been, I think, about that age or a scotch younger. And it was just, I mean, it was like a girl boy. He had long hair, mm-hmm. and he rode a horse that was beautiful as well.
Mm-hmm. The
and
horse has a name.
He was also a little sad, Artax. And I felt Artax. Like he needed me to save him. And, you know, that does it for girls, that arty girls.
That's how they we married.
Save people. Oh, I'm still trying to save you.
I know.
But yeah, like, long-term project. It was all that he was a hero, but he was also vulnerable.
Just like
and
me.
And that is just such a just sassy like me. Combination.
Just like me.
I like that a lot. That's a really good answer.
And he wasn't afraid to wear jewelry because he had
just
that big
medallion. Just like me. What?
No. You're agreeing to things that you don't even know.
I'm just saying, just like me.
Oh, by the way, and the joke that would have gotten us out of that would have been, Darwin said, Bridger died, Darwin said. Anyway, let's get to our like second round.
Woo!
Our second and final round is called Monster Mashup. I'm going to name two monsters. Two classic monsters or non-classic monsters, shitty monsters. Well, look, whatever. I'm going to name some monsters. You tell me who you think would win in a fight.
Okay.
Doesn't have to be a physical fight.
Yeah.
Do we have to show our work? Like,
nope.
Why?
Oh, well, you can tell me why.
Okay.
You don't need to show me.
Are we doing this round robin? Or is this a yell it? First to yell the loudest wins.
You know what? You know what? Carol always goes first, and everybody always listens. All right.
I like that rule.
I support it.
Question one. It's techno zombies covered in chunks of old Packard Bell computers versus the man who invented the world's most fuckable smurf, the Borg, versus Gargamel. Who takes it?
Oh, Gargamel for sure.
Why?
Turn the Borg into gold. He only needs like five of them.
Wow. All right.
But he can't turn the Smurfs into gold, ever.
The Borg is way easier. Smurfs are tiny, they blend in. The Borg is just like out there.
You know what? You're right, because he's going to turn that first Borg into gold before the Borg realized that Gargamel's a threat.
And then the Borgs and then, come to
and
you.
Then the rest of the Borg is going to turn to gold because it just assimilates things. Like, they're fucking stupid. That's the flaw in their plan.
Wow. The goldification will spread through the Borg network like a computer virus. 10 points to Carol Ballard.
I'm going to say Gargamel, but for this reason. I'm going to say that Gargamel uses powers to turn lots of living beings into gold, but then he pushes that gold as a fuel source to the Borg. And constantly as the Borg is attacking, he's basically just giving them more material, both organic and mechanical, for to keep building up the Borg. And he's doing it at such a speed that he's actually driving the Borg to a different objective based on like their greed or their fuel, you know, like he's putting things in front of them that drive their particular objective, and that's how he's taking over more and more different countries.
Okay, I like that. I like weaponizing the Borg, and as we know, because Captain Janeway made a deal with the Borg to help them defeat Species 8472, the Borg are amenable to deals when it's in their best interest. 10 points to Ballard.
I'm gonna go with the techno zombies. Because I believe it's one of those sort of older technologies is going to trump newer technology sort of thing. Like, you know, if there's an EMP blast, anything that's digital isn't going to work. You're going to need some old school analog ship to fight your battles. Those techno zombies with those Hewlett Packard, like a keyboard, they're
good
probably
call.
Like router, like old screechy routers, you know, modems. Like, their technology is so old, it's like in a Independence Day. You know, just a stupid computer virus brings that ship down? Really? Were the shield? That seems too stupid. Not stupid for techno zombies covered in Hewlett Packard keyboards. Yeah.
Interesting. You're halfway correct.
Ooh.
The correct answer was, well, Gargamel will win because the Borg can adapt to energy weapons, but they've got no defenses against kinetic attacks. Worf's Batleth, you know, when they're fighting on top of the ship in zero gravity.
Oh, that's right.
Slice them into pieces. Captain Picard's holographic Tommy gun when he puts them inside the simulation in First Contact and turns off the safeties. Gargamel is adept at evocation magic, which means he can summon magical fireballs, which is a double whammy, because the Borg can't defend against magic or kinetic attacks. Plus, they've got nothing to Borgify you with back then, because there's no technology.
Nothing to assimilate.
What the fuck are they? Look! Here's
trees.
What they do to Borgify you. They'll rip apart the Enterprise and they'll turn Lieutenant Hawk into a Borg, granted. What are they going to do? Turn you into like some sort of weird stone Borg?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no. I'd like to say, I think in that time period that you got water wheels. You got it's a little pre-steampunk, but it's all like pneumatic power and stuff
I
like that.
I would love to see the Borg
the
idea,
you've got you and then yeah. I I read some story a long time ago. A guy who built a clock. He built a mechanical wooden clock, but he used a particular wood where the sap would slowly like seep out of the wood. So it was a self-lubricating clock, but it was all entirely made out of wood. I see the Borg using any type of technology that's available, even if it's just like levers and pulleys and shit.
They're just flying through space in a giant water-powered wheel. Oh
my if God. Anybody could do it, it's the Borg. And they're super hot. Lady Queen Ballard. That's an even more correct answer. Really good work. I want to see Borgs that like shoot swords out of sword launchers.
It's all crossbows and shit.
Exactly, and like they don't have those red blinking eyes. Like it's like a little fire back there. Like it's there's
ooh,
like a
coal powered. That's great.
Coal powered Borg. Trump is bringing jobs back.
Nobody's even mentioned that Gargamel's greatest weapon is his cat Azrael. Do you think the Borg can handle allergies? I sure as fuck don't.
I definitely don't.
Like Gargamel just throw the cat at him. End of Borg.
Just like in the Gunslinger series, where young Roland beats his court. He beats court by throwing his hawk David.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
That's what I was going for.
A guy throws a Borg. Yep.
He throws his hawk. His trained hawk. At court, the guy who teaches them all to be gunslingers, and that's how he sort of like games the system by doing that. He gets to be a gunslinger. Yes, he gets to be exactly. He gets to be a gunslinger really early because instead of like beating this guy with bow staff or something or just fisticuffs, he throws a fucking hawk at it, blinds him, and he's just like in the gunslinger hospital for the next like 10 weeks. But he's a gunslinger now. Technically, I beat you by throwing a fucking sword bird at you.
Swordbird. I like that a lot. All right.
We all just lit up with the phrase swordbird.
Swordbird. I like it. Next question. The world's most memorable second act obstacle faces the world's most forgettable one. Slimer versus the Rathtars from The Force Awakens. Who takes it?
Wait,
the Rathtars?
See? Oh, yeah.
You know how
I literally
just said they're forgettable.
Oh. Yeah.
And you guys don't remember, the Rathtars are the second act obstacle when they find the Millennium Falcon.
They're the creature that's loose in the Millennium Falcon that Han's smuggling, and then there's like two other gang factions.
You remember when Kanja Klon is like, hoi, they're Japanese and we're Irish and we're all in space. Time to take you out, Helm.
Space is so diverse.
Wait, so I'm sorry, I got to do it. What was it? The first monster is what versus Rathaus?
Slimer
versus Rathaus.
Yeah, well,
okay.
Slimer wins because Slimer can move through walls. The other guys, like, they were having to travel through the nether parts of the Millennium Falcon.
Well, where are they fighting?
In space, sure.
But then walls are irrelevant.
No, like, the Millennium Falcon has, like, things underneath the walkways and stuff that big wormy guy was having to travel through. Like, he couldn't just move through the metal, and Slimer can. So Slimer is not bound by any rules that whatever that fucking worm thing is.
What's the Rathtars.
The Rathtars.
They're so forgettable. Slimer doesn't
live by any rules, and he's memorable, so he's of course gonna win.
Yeah, he's the Spuds McKenzie. Right. Like, I'm surprised he wasn't, like, wearing sunglasses the whole time. Like, I'm totally radical.
He just win with his cool.
Yeah.
I like that answer a lot. They use doors against the Rathtars to great effect in The Force Awakens.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Doors can't hold Slimer. Nothing can. Not even the doors of death.
Not even the Force.
John?
Assuming they're fighting on the Millennium Falcon... I am also going to go with Slimer, but because as a spirit, I believe even if he can't technically win the fight, he could exit the Millennium Falcon, and even if it took 20,000 years for him to reach the next habitable planet, time means nothing to a spirit. Mm-hmm. So he could just leave the fight and be a pacifist and not even deal with that. So he wins by not even
victory.
Yeah, the moral victory. He wins by not even engaging.
You're actually halfway to the real answer. You get 5 points for that.
Wow, they call
Ballard.
I'm gonna break a little bit from you guys and change the venue for the fight.
Oh.
I'm gonna say the fight is in the afterlife, and based on that, I'm gonna give the result as a draw.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Right.
They just keep splooshing. They just like.
Well, just think about it. Let's game this out, guys. Think about this. Let's say Slimer wins. In either of your scenarios, either Slimer wins because he can move through walls and he can occasionally like, hit a thing, and or suck like all the air out of the Millennium Falcon and the Rathar dies, or literally he just leaves the ship and the Rathar dies of old age.
Yeah.
Yep.
Rathar is a ghost.
Yeah.
They're now on equal footing.
Are they? Let me ask you this. In Slime, in the afterlife...
Everybody dies, Sean. Everybody dies.
In the everybody afterlife, dies. Is Slimer corporeal? Is he solid in the spirit world? Or is he not... Is he... Can he pass through walls only here?
I'm gonna answer your question just definitively. I'm gonna say optional. I'm gonna say as a ghost, you can control that variability in your density.
I like that.
Now here's what I'll say to that. Okay, I'm gonna give you 15 points for again Kobayashi Maruing the question. Mm-hmm. However, I think we've all seen Defending Your Life. And in Defending Your Life,
such a good
there
movie.
Are winners and losers, because you can lose your court case in Defending Your Life. So being in the afterlife doesn't necessarily absolve you from wins or losses, because Lord knows Rip Torn will eat you alive. He'll send you back down to Earth so fast, because, I spent $12,000 to upgrade my seed so I could be in first class. Yeah, you should have probably invested in Sony, asshole. You deserve to go back down there. What? He breaks out of the heaven bus and breaks into the other heaven bus, and they're like, let him through. Terrible. Terrible management of heaven. I would have been like, you get that guy off that bus and you send him back down. I want that guy to be a dog.
So what you're saying is Slimer could be sent back as a Rathtar and then give the Rathtars a crisis of identity, and they just, curl up in a fetal position and God, Slimer stolen.
Does the Rathtar wind up sleeping with Meryl Streep?
I love this. There are no winners and losers, because you either end up in heaven or you're given the choice to reincarnate to learn the lesson you didn't learn the first time. Exactly. Everybody wins.
Now I'm just picturing a Rathtar sleeping with Meryl Streep. did that.
Good fanfic.
Why weren't you imagining
good
that?
Good fanfic.
Because she's independent.
That's hot.
Yeah. Oh God.
Good job. Well, the correct answer was. This one goes to the Rathtars.
Oh.
You know what you're thinking? You can't kill a ghost. But what happens when ghosts fight a ghost, much like you were both getting at? Here's what we do. We inject a Rathtar with thousands of midichlorians. Teach them the way of the Force. Have them sacrifice themselves to save their friends. Turn the Rathtars into Force ghosts. Force ghosts beat regular ghosts. As we all know.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Slimer's the ghost of John Belushi. Who's going in a fight? The ghost of John Belushi? Or a perfectly well-trained Jedi ghost.
Yeah. Even though I agree that the ghost of John Belushi will win any fight, I would like to deduct 20 points for bringing up midichlorians.
No! Yeah. That's the thing! That's the thing, Ballard. We had the chance to get rid of midichlorians, and we all decided no.
No, I decided I'm not going to think on midichlorians. leaving Phantom Menace out of all screenings. They're not bringing up midichlorians in Force Awakens. They're not bringing up midichlorians in the EU books, and I know there's other legends now and not canon anymore, but I believe them because I loved them.
Ballard, Catherine Kennedy, you are not.
True.
The prequels are unfortunately still in canon. There was a discussion within Disney a long time ago where they were like, should we put all these prequels in the Star Wars toilet that we put the EU in? And then someone said no. Like, Disney made the decision that the prequels are canon. I don't know why.
I know.
It's not
I,
what
I agree
I
with
done.
You. I'm just saying, in my heart.
In my heart, Return of the Jedi never happened. But, like,
what?
These are... Yeah.
What? Not,
I would just tweak the ending.
Death Star 2?
I just tweak the ending. You can change it. Yeah,
sure.
I still like.
I like the opening.
Yeah, you like the opening.
I like the Tatooine stuff.
So you got a new giant again. Death Star 2 was a bad idea. Like that was
yeah.
Phone
they shouldn't have
end.
Done that. But the
you
rest
got that,
the,
and you got and we
Ewoks.
Need a better thing than Ewoks. Make it Kashyyyk.
That's what
Kashyyyk
it was
or Kashyyyk,
to
and
be.
Make it the Wookiees. It'd be way more interesting. We all know that.
And some people pronounce it Kazook. Because in the Star Wars Holiday Special, it's pronounced Kazook.
Guys, who would win in a fight, John Belushi or illegal drugs?
Question three.
Wow.
Illegal drugs won.
Final matchup. Fuck it. Godzilla versus Dr. Robotnik. The mean green machine versus the mean bean machine. Who takes it?
Who's Dr. Robotnik? Where's he from? Who's Dr. Robotnik?
For 5 points, who's Dr. Robotnik? He's the bad
a
guy
woman.
From Sonic the Hedgehog.
A woman, because women can be doctors.
Lady Dr. Robotnik.
Lady doctors.
Points. Points.
It's a doctor.
Okay, so no one here knows who Dr. Robotnik is. Let me change this question.
Yeah, can you pick something?
From Godzilla.
I mean, I know the name, but...
Godzilla versus...
I think I saw him in an open mic.
He flies in a like little pod, little hover pod, right?
Yeah, and he turns animals into robots.
Okay.
Well, that sounds more...
He's a real bad guy.
How do the rings come into the thing?
You use the rings for invincibility. The rings allow you to take one hit. And if you collect 50 rings, you can jump through a spinning portal and go find a cast.
So the rings don't help rescue animals from being
cyborgized?
No, but sometimes when...
I don't know if anybody else is noticing that small animals being turned into cyborgs seems like a pairing up of Gargamel and the Borg already.
Yeah. Oh my god, you're right.
And there's gold rings everywhere? There's already gold littered everywhere. Gold.
It's like they traveled to the future to hear our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking this. And then went back in time and made this
game. I think that's the end of the show. I don't
know. Well, no.
Having not realized who Dr. Robotnik was at first, but if I may hazard an answer anyway, I think Godzilla has had to fight enough. And Godzilla has learned from fighting that there never are any real winners. So Godzilla will concede the fight to Dr. Robotnik. Dr. Robotnik will get to feel like he won, and Godzilla can go have a break and catch up on like
Netflix shows.
Netflix, like, and do a little binge watching. Yeah, okay. I was trying to do House of Cards.
I think Godzilla would be a huge House of Cards fan.
And I want that for Godzilla.
Are they ever going to get back together?
Yeah.
Look,
that's my Godzilla.
We all want the best for Godzilla, but it doesn't always work out that way.
That's fair.
We created him with our science. Our atomics woke him up.
Hey, it's not our science.
Oh, yes,
it's just
it is.
Science. It's just
America
out there.
Did that. We did it. Godzilla's a representation of Tokyo's nuclear fears.
Yeah.
We woke it up, us.
Don't yell at me.
Did you see Kong?
We have become death, destroyer of worlds, and awakeners of Godzilla.
Wait a minute. No. Here's what I like. I love that you're correct. That's the entire point of the first Godzilla, and then almost every subsequent one is like, he's our friend. Fight other things we created.
Yeah. True. That is true. Mothra, help us. Mothra's fucking shit up.
In fact, even the American remake of Godzilla was really like, he's this unstoppable force. Oh, wait, no. It's cool. There's other things for him to fight for us.
Yeah.
That's great. Just let him go. It's all good.
Yeah, because you know what? Because it's like, you can't hate Godzilla. That guy's cool. He's big, he's green, he's got fire breath, he's got atomic eyes, cheap knocks over buildings like me going through pudding packs.
I think Godzilla's great! But here's the thing, if he's attacking us, then he's an evil scourge. If he's fighting something to defend us, then
he's like,
hey, that guy's pretty cool. Talk about being fickle.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It sounds like Godzilla's Donald Trump. Like, for the Republican Party. Like, I hate that guy. He's terrible. He'll never be our nominee.
We need to stand behind our president.
He's the greatest.
Exactly fucking right.
He's the Donald Trump of monsters.
Dumbass cucks.
Godzilla calling someone a cuck.
What a cuck Mothra is. Mothra's such a cuck.
See, I think Godzilla would think Gamera was a cuck. Because like Gamera's the family. Beta to Godzilla's alpha. But then
stupid turtle thing.
Godzilla's got Godzuki.
Who's so Godzuki?
Godzilla's kid. Oh. So now
Godzilla Jr. Why does Godzilla have to have a kid? Come on, Godzilla Jr. It's 2017. Yeah. Just go childless.
Follow your bliss, Godzilla.
But he had Godzuki. Yeah. So
take more vacation. Save money. Don't have a kid.
Go to college.
Yeah.
Go to night school. Take all those classes you've been thinking about taking, Godzilla.
Single dad Godzilla having to raise a Godzuki in the big city. It's just like Godzilla, like he's a fun-loving guy. He's running around Tokyo fighting with Mothra. Like, one day he wakes up. He's a dad.
Yep.
Now I got to grow up. Now I got to grow up and I got to be the dad that no one was to me.
Godzilla versus adult responsibility.
Yes! I like that a lot.
I didn't do that in the box office, but it meant a lot to those of us that were at that point in our lives.
By the way, the answer was Godzilla, because not even Perry Mason could stop Godzilla. Godzilla always wins.
There you are.
Anyway, that's science friction.
Yay!
Let's see who got the most amount of points.
Are there prizes this week?
I forgot to get prizes.
Yeah,
we will do prizes.
I'll just give
you guys random things.
You have a dog bowl? Do you have
they
a dog?
They weren't very good prizes last time.
No, these prizes will be better.
Why do you have a dog bowl? Do you have a dog here?
It's where I keep my keys.
Oh, is there a sad story behind that?
No.
Okay, you just got. He's got a dog bowl that he keeps his keys in.
There's Well, everything you're seeing
this
right...
This baby crib that I have here is not a sad story.
Yeah.
It's where I keep all my clothes.
It's my hamper. No, everything you're seeing right now at one point below... I've had several roommates that have just moved, and they always just leave their stuff behind.
Was one of the roommates a dog that moved upstate to
He's
a farm?
Really trying to get around telling us what happened to his dog, guys.
I don't have it. I never noticed that this was a dog bowl until you just said so.
It's covered in dog bones.
Bones all over it.
It's where I keep my keys.
What?
Wait. All right, let me see if I can give you guys cool things. All right. Third place winner
Sean.
It's always me.
Gets.
That's the story of my life.
10 yen. Sean, oh, congratulations. Yay. Sean, can you pass me those condoms? No, they're under. They keep looking around for them. They're down there somewhere. A couple. Here we go. I got a two-pack ready. Thank you. Second place winner.
It's just a name. It's not a joke.
Gets these New York City condoms.
Oh, you can't get those a lot of places.
Ballard, here you go. Oh, they're really good.
Is it gonna
I'm
be?
In a relationship. Yeah.
And first place winner.
He's just walking around touching things.
She's so cool and nice.
Give me your passport.
She gets all of Caprica on DVD. Ooh. It's Carol Hartzell. Congratulations.
Yes. Carol Hartzell. All right. Oh, man. You couldn't free cycle that away.
The show that would have been better if it wasn't connected to Battlestar Galactica. But then again, who would have watched it then? I don't know. A real catch-22 of a show. Caprica.
The photo on the back of it looks like a CW show.
It does. It's
like a very
sassy arm folding.
Hmm. Well, Caprica was it's fucking Knots Landing in space. Aww. Like Caprica is just it's Dallas in space. It's about two rich families, but instead of oil, it's technology and AI and shit.
And it's just set in a undetermined quote unquote future.
Yeah,
right? That's it. All right.
I mean, and technically it's the past because the 12 colonies weren't all blown up. But it's the future. But it's the past, and it's just like, just get the Battlestar shit out of the show would have been good, but then who would have watched it? I don't know. I never know what was right for David Icke.
And the terrible part of this is that we all worked on our spec script called Future Dallas, and they could have just picked that thing up immediately.
So sad. Well, interestingly, it wasn't supposed to be connected to Battlestar Galactica. Caprica had a name where it was just literally called like Future Dallas. It was something else, much like every Die Hard sequel has not started as a Die Hard movie, but they're just like, oh, they took this movie called Simon Says and they turned it into Die Hard 3.
With,
you know?
Die Hard with a Vengeance, and it's fucking great, and I will fight anybody who disagrees with me.
No, we all agree that Die Hard with a Vengeance is good.
We all like it.
Props to Carol. We'd award more points, but you already got Caprica.
I know.
But props to Carol for clarifying Die Hard 3 is Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
What was the first one in the summer? I'm going to call it Die Hard 4. Live Free Die Hard?
Live Free Die Hard.
Was that a spec script that was adapted?
Yes. Let me find out what it was.
Live Free or Die Hard.
And it's annoying
because...
it was
really called Fire Sale.
And it's annoying because when you purchase all of the Die Hard movies on Apple TV, all of them are together except for Live Free or Die Hard because it's down like in the L's and not D's, and that's a little bit if you're just trying to go through.
Fun fact, I think probably 90% of listeners know, but I'm going to refer to it because I find this fascinating that the book that was adapted to be the original Die Hard, while it was an adaptation and it was turned into Die Hard, it was originally adapted to be a sequel to Commando.
That makes a lot of... Wow. It's just the fucking house of reused parts over there at Fox. There's the island of misfit scripts. Live Free or Die Hard was originally called, I'm not kidding, www3.com.
No.
www3.com by David Marconi, screenwriter of Enemy of the State.
Oh, I just rewatched Enemy of the State.
You really did. That was like 2 days ago, 3 days ago.
It was
at one point called Die Hard 4.0. Then it was called...
That's about the same as the title of the show.
Just as bad.
I know. Then it was originally going to be called Die Hard : Reset.
Ooh.
And then, finally, Live Free or Die Hard.
Which, like, what young actor is in that?
I know. It's
Justin Long. Justin Long. Yeah.
Kevin Smith?
I always think Justin Long is Jay Baruchel. I always confuse them.
Oh yeah, they're
I always think he's Jay Baruchel, Justin Long.
Oh yeah.
I see them. If you put them side by side, I wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
Who does that? Who's like, how do we reboot the Die Hard franchise?
Jay Baruchel
put Justin Long in it. That'll
usually has more vertical hair than Justin.
Yeah. I'm Jay Baruchel.
That's pretty.
Is it Baruchel? Baruchel?
I don't know. My parents never told me. Nobody ever uses. This is Bark.
That's it for this week's episode of Science Friction. Thank you guys all so much for coming all the way out here. I hope you enjoyed Caprica on DVD.
Thank you.
I'd love it if you guys would give your plugs before we split, your Twitter accounts and all that nonsense.
Hi, at Sean Crespo, and Carol and I have a podcast called Stupid Human Suits. Go check that out.
What? Stupid Human Suits?
Where can they find it?
You can find it at, where is it?
It's Cave Comedy Radio, but I believe it's changing to... on the left radio or something like that.
You guys are jumping networks?
No, it's the same network. It's because Last Podcast on the Left is the most popular podcast on the network. They're rebranding the network with that name, and it's something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's official, and maybe I shouldn't have said it, but it's on Cave Comedy Radio.
Oh, I don't know. But watch, go listen to that, and watch Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Yeah, and I'm at Carol R. Hartzell on Twitter and Instagram.
Actually, you know what? A lot of our listeners love Last House on the Left, Last Podcast on the Left. Mm-hmm. Let's retake the plugs, because, and Carol, you lead it, because I bet if you guys do give a good plug for your show and then mention the connection, people will listen.
Oh, okay, sure.
So that's it for Science Friction. Hey guys, let's get some plugs. I want to hear where people can find your stuff. Carol.
I am at Carol R. Hartzell on Twitter and Instagram, and Sean and I have a podcast together called Stupid Human Suits on Cave Comedy Radio, the same station that brings you Last Podcast on the Left.
So what, can you go to stupidhumansuits.com?
If you Google Stupid Human Suits, you'll find it. If you Google Cave Comedy Radio, you'll find it.
You also go to the Twitter feed. What is it? SHS Podcast?
Yeah, SHS Podcast on Twitter.
Awesome.
Premise for the podcast?
We talk about death and aging and fun topics like that.
Yeah, we just had James Urbaniak on.
Yeah.
But also from Venture Brothers.
Yeah, he's an old friend. But like, we also have a lot of very tragic things. People have gone through a lot of shit in their lives. It's sort of about like being trapped in these stupid bodies. How do you deal with A, B, C, D, all the way?
But super funny and life-affirming at the same time.
Yes.
That sounds awesome. Yeah. Stupid Human Suits at SHS Podcast on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Ballard.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ballard C. Boyd, and you can see some of my directing work at BalladCBoyd.com and watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on CBS 11:35 weeknights.
Awesome. Hey, thank you guys so much for coming out. And this has been Stereos Kogonos for Science Friction. If you want to hear bonus episodes, you can go to patreon.com/stereos. You can hear them for just a buck. And that's about it. Talk to you guys next time. Woo!
Did you get the part with my little stupid Twitter handle?
Oh, let's get it in there.
Say Twitter handle and lasers.
Oh, okay. Lasers.
Good call.
Yeah, thank you.
Sorry. We have too many things to pitch.
You can find me at Sean Crespo. If you want to see my Instagram, it's just photos of my pets, but it's at Crespoop. Or come check out Lasers in the Jungle at UCB East every Thursday at 7:30. Or go to the UCB site to find it. But whatever. I'm pretty cool.
Wait. Can I still re-plug Lasers in the Jungle? It's a stand-up show that I host with guests like Sella.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, let me
just... Lasers in the Jungle. It's a good show.
It's a really big... I'll give you a proper toss. So, Sean, where can people hear your stuff?
You can go to my Twitter handle, at Sean Crespo, or you can come check out Lasers in the Jungle at UCB East. It's a stand-up show that Carol produces and I co-host with my co-host, Katina Creo. And we have a lot of fun guests, Jim Gaffigan and...
Mike Birbiglia, Wyatt Cenac.
A lot of folks stop by, but we also have a lot of people you haven't heard about who are pretty damn awesome. So come on by. It's 7:30 Thursday at UCB East.
Awesome. And that's, of course, in New York City.
Yarp.
We got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.